Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I have a very long day ahead of me, so I'm going to need to keep this thing moving.
This is Hour 3 of Fourier's 25 for 25. 25 hours on the radio with the goal of raising $25,000 for the American Diabetes Association.
Let's do this!
Brought to you by Test Strips, Think Inside the Box, Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing in men's sexual health, Omnipod Insulin Management System, McFarlane Energy, Shaw's and Star Market, and AtlanticPowerCleaning.com. To make a donation, visit WEEI.com/25.
All right, back here on OMF 25 for 25. Christian is on the air for 25 consecutive hours.
He's done
two. It's not bad, Big Fella. You got 23 left. So we're filling up the Mount Rushmore of Boston sports. We got Bird up on the mountain right
now.
Brady's still to come.
One
he
down.
Will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Bobby Orr tomorrow. And one more. We need one more.
Johnny Sadler. Close it up.
Lou keeps offering these no-name guys who we've talked to a million times.
What do you mean?
I'm not, sorry, I don't mean to be disrespectful to your best friend, Noma.
When's the last time you talked to Pete Shorick?
Last week?
Thank
Travis
you
Lakin.
Very much.
Last week.
Thank you, Mary.
We went to brunch together.
John Wasden.
I had lunch with him.
Okay, good. Okay.
So what were your impressions?
Oh, I love Larry Bird.
I was moved in more ways than one.
He was actually... I like the trash-talking stuff.
Well, no, I just think he was... I could sit there and listen to his stories like all day. Just tell stories.
We could have done
stories.
We could have done 2 hours.
We could have. How so?
A Big O story.
Which one?
That's true.
Any of them. Just wanted something. Young Big O. Was it like traveling on a plane with
Well,
Big
you
o?
Should have asked the question.
Well, we didn't want to.
He would have ratted me out.
Let me give me his number.
Can I give you one? Can I give you one?
I want to call him back.
He wanted it to be out.
I mean, what?
I'll give you a Larry Bird story. So Larry Bird.
I want your story.
I'm going to give you my story. Oh. So,
I mean, are we really doing this? Okay, go.
I'm going to
hear stories.
It's better if it was from Larry, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
It would have been better, but you were the didn't ask the question. Shame on you.
I know.
You know, maybe when you get Nomar on, you can ask him something more personal, right? So I was dieting, as I usually do, you know, 2 or 3 times a year. And Bird basically came up to me and said, he's got to lose some weight here. I'll tell you what, I'll offer you $100 for every pound that you lose. And I'm sitting there going, boy, I could lose some weight. I could
make a couple hundred bucks, did you?
Yeah, I could a couple hundred bucks.
$5,000.
So I started losing a lot of weight. And Bird suddenly noticed that it was going to cost him an awful lot of money. But being the competitive guy he was, we're on the road one night. I think we were in Chicago. Next thing I know, knock on the door. They sent me the ice cream buffet.
Room service?
Yes. Sent by Bird. So he was hedging his bet both ways.
I tell you what, he's a lot funnier than I thought he'd be.
He's very funny and he's smart.
Yeah.
And people think,
he's
you know.
He's well-spoken. He just sounds.
I still read people writing about him as the dumb hick from French Lick. I mean, couldn't be more wrong. You guys heard him.
No,
I know you guys are close, but ending the interview, asking if he was going to die soon, I thought it was a little bit over the top.
Why not?
Well, no, I'm just saying.
I want him around forever. But you can talk with people.
The last question I'm going to ask you is, you always felt like you were going to die young.
Do you feel like you're going to die soon? Are you feeling sick? But you saw his answer.
Do you have a cough due to cold?
He still doesn't know.
Well, who the hell knows?
But he said this entire life. He constantly has brought up that he did not think he was going to be around long. So why not ask that question? I thought it was
okay,
a good question.
Okay, it's all right. Just,
hey,
upbeat interview.
This you go and sit down because we're getting ready to pound your ass.
No.
Don't take it personal.
You're right, though. And he didn't seem to care when you threw it out to him with cell phones and everything else out would be, because people would really despise him right now. He would be the
total a-hole.
You
know, one of the great things, right? One of the great photos I saw as a kid was, I think, the year they won the championship.
Magic Johnson grabbing by the throat?
No. The year they won the championship, I think there was a photo of him basically like in the back of a pickup in French Lick with the NBA trophy there and like Bud Light or Bud beer, like in the back of his truck, and he's just sitting there having a beer in the back of his truck in the middle of nowhere with the trophy there.
Yeah. I mean,
but it was just like, he's just like, yeah, I'm bringing it back to French Lick, and that's what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to sit in my truck.
Just enjoy a cold one.
And I'm going to, whatever, have a beer or something. It was great.
Well, they came in and offered, and came into town and gave him the MVP award in town. They do a little thing. It's nothing like they do today. So they do a little deal with a few media people and whatever. Larry took the trophy, went down the street, down Canal Street, goes to the Fours, sits there, goes up to the bar, and just orders a beer.
With the trophy right there.
Yeah. Those were... It was a lot different.
Those were the days. That's what I'm saying. It was a lot different. He's like, hey, listen, thanks a lot, but I'm going to go back to my life now. It's not...
Yeah,
you
none
know,
of this changing
me or...
circumstance that no. you get. None of it. This hour being presented by McFarlane Energy, and we really appreciate Scott McFarlane and all of the people over at McFarlane. They have been terrific with this. And for this hour, McFarlane Energy is matching donations up to $1,000. So, again, if you contribute right now during this hour, your contribution is going to count twice. So if you want to help us out with $25, $50, $100, the McFarlane people are going to double it up. So go to weei.com/25. And Scott is actually in the studio with us right now. Thanks for doing that, Scott. We appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate all that Christian's doing for this and making people aware of what goes on with diabetes.
That's great.
I've had many employees and customers over the years that have had it. And it's nice to see that somebody's stepping up and doing something to try to help out.
Yeah, and so are you. And you were talking to me earlier about how sometimes it can directly affect the people who actually work for you.
Well, we have an oil company, and you have hazmat drivers. And if somebody has a condition, then it comes to a point that you can't drive anymore because you have to have health cards, and you don't want to have a catastrophic event. So we have to be very careful what we do with health, and we try to support people. And if they can't drive an oil truck, then we put them into a different position to keep them employed.
Now, I understand you're a big sports fan, too, as well. Big Pats fan?
Well,
we got a couple
bit,
guys coming on later, like Bruschi and Hightower, and, oh, yeah, Tom Brady, he's coming on as well. But you're a big Pats fan.
Yes, we are.
He was just at the... So you just went to the Baltimore Ravens game, and we were trying...
I didn't work out, Scott.
Oh, you were the reason.
Well, no. But now he's going to the Philly game.
Well, so, I don't know if I want him to anymore.
Well, I mean... I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but the discussion was more about, so you've been to all these games. Philly fans, the worst, right? As far as you've been to Super Bowls, you've been all over the place. You were just in Baltimore. We said Kansas City was terrible. Well, Philly's pretty bad, right?
Philadelphia, I went to the Super Bowl, and I was sitting around all the Philadelphia fans, and I couldn't stand their chanting.
That Eagles song is just horrendous, isn't it?
It's sickening. I rode on an airplane all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina, to Minnesota, listening to them constantly singing, and it was
they're violent people,
pretty bad. Yeah, we drove 7.5 hours to get to the Baltimore game each way, and the Baltimore fans were actually quite nice.
They're classy in Baltimore.
Yes,
no one's surprised that Philly fans are jerks. Yeah. Philly fans.
Was at that Super Bowl? That was dangerous.
Which one?
When they played the Eagles.
I don't think it was as bad.
No, I'm talking about the first time.
Jacksonville, that was
Jacksonville,
the worst.
That was the worst.
Yeah, the fans in Jacksonville for Philly, I feel like they were, I don't know, maybe because it was their first time in like forever, they were a little bit more empowered. I don't know, but I one of my buddies got thrown in a stadium jail for fighting with the Philly fans. It was that hectic.
They were the worst. They were the worst. In Jacksonville, those Philly fans were the absolute worst. Scott, we really appreciate you coming in today. And McFarlane Energy, again, for this hour only, is matching the donations up to $1,000. So right now, help us out. Get online. It is weei.com/25. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. Coming up at 4:30 today, our regular weekly slot with Teddy Bruschi, and we thought we'd do something really a little different today because 54 has been handed over, the reins have been handed over. And so we'll start with Teddy Bruschi, and then we will incorporate Dante Hightower into the conversation and kind of do a wider interview with him coming up next.
Bill Belichick joins OMF this Monday after the game. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, 30 million people come down with the flu every year. It could be you or your family. The best way to tell if it's cold or flu is by taking your temperature. Nobody does it better than Exergen Temporal Scanner. Trending Now is being brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. There will always be a vacation or a celebration. Make sure you put Awaken 180 to the test this holiday season. Lose weight while others are packing it on. Well, we now know the Patriots will indeed have a representative at Colin Kaepernick's workout Saturday in Atlanta. Jim McBride of The Globe reporting that. We're doing our 25 for 25 with Christian. 25 straight hours of Fourier, raising money for the American Diabetes Association. Larry Bird joined us here in this last hour, said he would not be surprised if the NBA added a four-point line. Teddy Bruschi at 4:30. Dante Hightower will join us in that interview. And in the 5 o'clock hour, actually 5:30 today or right around there, it is Tom Brady. Donations and all the information is at WEEI.com/25.
Donations.
I thought it was a trash. Don't be hitting on me.
Some money, stupid ass.
Celtics host the Wizards tonight. Isaiah Thomas returning to the TD Garden. What's the over-under? Maybe 40? Maybe, I don't know. 7:30 tip-off. And Adam Gase apparently is going to return to the head coach of the 2020 Jets. What do you think? 5 wins for the Jets?
This means nothing. He'll be fired at the end of the year.
No. He'll finish out the year.
No, that's it.
But they'll fire him after week 4 next year. Just get ahead of it. Just do it now.
It's ridiculous.
You know he's not the guy. Just do it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Bitches come from a can.
All right, back here on OMF, and for Christian, it's 25 consecutive hours. Trust me, he'll be babbling after hour 21, 22.
Doing good so far.
But he's brought in nine grand and counting.
I would like to think that we have brought in $9,000. I kind of feel like you guys have jumped on board. You've helped out in a big way. Lou
see if I
is
do.
Helping out tonight. No, dude, you're coming back at 11 o'clock at
good
night.
Good point. Plus, he's getting no more.
I'm so excited.
No more's not going on Mount Rushmore.
Can't wait to see what I'll ask him about.
I know you like the guy a lot, but come on, please.
How about Rico Petrosella?
No, I love Rico.
Hey,
Rico's not on Mount Rushmore. No.
Could you have no more speak like Ortiz? Can you do an impersonation of Ortiz?
How about your guy that did the Chara last year? Does he do an Ortiz?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to confirm right now. Ortiz is coming on.
I'm pretty tight with Archimedes Pozo. I'm just saying. You know,
we do really need a guy who does impressions.
So if we're looking at the Mount Rushmore of Boston sports, Ortiz is probably the guy. Now, you could argue that Bill Russell is, and you know, Russell's had some health issues here, so, you know, it'd be difficult for us to get him on the air. Ted Williams, Lou already tried and found out that it didn't work out. We couldn't get him on. So it's obvious. So you got Bird, you've got Orr, you've got Brady.
Later today.
Right. And Ortiz is the guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's had the most.
And, so it just specific to baseball, I mean, obviously Ted Williams is not coming on.
Right.
We've been trying.
Yes.
Lou has been calling him. Lou has called him multiple times, and Ted is ghosting him. I just want to do it again.
That joke sucked so the first time
that
around.
That joke was so good. No, Lou, you know Lou, why you didn't Lou. Like the joke? Because you missed it, Lou, both of you.
Lou, can I tell you? We didn't miss it. Trust me, dude.
It's honestly, it's disrespectful.
Right.
You guys Doom!
Well, they could have brought
disrespect. You know, the greatest hitter of all time.
He is the greatest hitter of all time.
You people are so
you
uptight.
People. What do you mean, you people? Don't go there.
You
don't go there. Look what happened to Don Cherry with you people. Don't even go there.
Oh, hey.
But I hate to tell you, Lou and I did not laugh at that joke in the 2 o'clock hour. And it'll be worse in the 24th hour.
Here's the thing.
None of your jokes are going to fly hour 24.
Hold on. A good joke is just as good as its audience. So you guys missed it. It went right over your head. And it's okay if you didn't get it. It's all right. You didn't get it.
Yeah.
So as far as that, the last guy missing is Ortiz.
We'll see.
But wouldn't you say that's it?
Yes.
I mean, that is it up there.
I mean,
especially when you look at Ortiz, because the problem with Ted Williams, looking back at it, great player. Carl Yastrzemski, same thing. We're the championships.
Well, it's just...
Right? And it's not their fault, because it is a baseball thing.
Ted Williams, greatest hitter of all time.
Right. Carl Yastrzemski...
Yaz changed, turned, you know, basically what we call Red Sox Nation.
Turned it into baseball team.
Right, turned it into baseball.
1967.
And Ortiz is just the personality, the championships, the clutch moments. He just had it all.
Right.
Had it all.
And the biggest influence on the turnaround here with the Boston Red Sox, you could say Yaz was the original catalyst that turned it around, but they lost in 1967. I hate to tell you,
I have to give myself credit, though, too.
For what?
When Ortiz was in camp, you know, 2003 with me, I kept saying, this guy should hit over Giambi. I don't know what we're doing. And eventually people started listening to me.
Who did you say it to, though?
Well, people started listening to me.
The guy who was, like, rubbing the balls down. I'll go tell everybody.
And Pedro had a little influence, too, but I think it was all because of me.
Well, I would say to Pedro and Roger Clemens, because for some reason now, because there were some issues after he left here and he, you know, went to New York through Toronto, people look at Roger a little bit differently, but he had phenomenal, 5-6 years.
I do like
here.
That guy.
It was great.
Mm-hmm.
But Ortiz is the guy,
yeah,
and he had the biggest influence. If you look at
pressure,
where this team is,
see the pressure they're putting on me right now, Tyler. I'm not liking this. I'm uncomfortable.
You know. Listen, it's okay if it doesn't happen. You've done enough.
Don't do that. Just play along. What's that?
What are you doing?
Lowering the bar.
Oh, dude, Jesus, I just appreciate you joining.
Oh my
God. You know, thank you.
No, you're going soft in hour 3.
No, you need to. You need to somehow shame them.
If I do that with your kids,
all you know, it's over.
No,
we love Sam. Sam's done enough. Sam's done enough too.
Or
Green Monster. Yes,
Brian O'Halloran.
Yeah, I think Alex?
How about Alex Cora?
Sure. You know what, Lou? Whatever works for you.
Hey, Lou.
We're happy with whatever you get.
Lou, we're trying to fulfill the Mount Rushmore. We love Alex. He's on with us every week during the baseball season, but the Mount Rushmore.
The guy gets freaking Larry Bird, and now it turns into a puff in his chest.
You got Bobby Orr tomorrow.
Huh?
Bobby Orr tomorrow.
Jesus. Dale got Bobby.
We didn't get
nothing
Bobby.
To do with Bobby. Bobby doesn't even like
Bobby.
You. Last time I saw him, I said, I hate that guy.
We love each other.
Do you realize, though, we're never going to live this down? I know I'll forever be indebted to him.
Yeah, but did you notice?
Do you remember that time I got Larry Bird for
remember
you?
Remember that day you lit up? No, actually, that was that. No, that didn't happen. I was actually talking to him. Remember that day in Christmas? No, it wasn't Christmas. It was a week before. I know you're getting old, but your stories, you're missing some dates, old boy. Bird had to correct you. I don't know how many times during the interview.
So what I was going to try to... No, he didn't. It wasn't Christmas Day.
He wanted
it was the week leading up to Christmas Day.
You so badly wanted to finish his story.
And I wanted to be like, hey, can you let Larry tell the story?
Yeah, nobody wants to hear you.
Hey, big fella. That was not a Larry Bird impersonator like you got when you took
Chara.
You were getting Zdeno Chara.
You got Charlie Coyle.
And it was a sound of
Charlie Coyle.
And we weren't even sure with Charlie Coyle.
Hey, listen.
We had to ask him like 6 or 7 questions.
I got two out of the three I got right.
Charlie Coyle.
Okay, Charlie Coyle.
Charlie Coyle.
I got Marchand.
What Mike
and
Doyle.
Chara was a setup.
Can we mention this one thing? Because we got the next segment.
My brother was a Greco-Roman.
That was him.
I can't believe you guys don't remember that.
And we're sitting there, Lou and I, sitting there looking at each other. Oh, God, the big fellow let us down again. Before we get, because the next segment's going to be terrific, we got Teddy Bruschi and Dante Hightower and 54 and all of that. But we just got to throw it out. We'll talk more about it in the next couple days. I'm sorry, Lou. This baseball cheating scandal in Houston is un-freaking believable.
I just saw a great tweet from 2017 where Justin Verlander says we need to do something about stealing signs.
Oh, Jesus.
2017.
Oh, and what team was he playing for?
Did you see
in 2017?
Did you see the tweet? God, I forget. Somebody tweeted out like all the stats and all the numbers.
Yes, home
Tyler,
and
Tyler
away.
Talk Sports. During the 2017 season, the postseason numbers at home, Jose Altuve hit .472 with a 1.541 OPS. On the road, he hit .143 and his OPS was .497.
Couldn't hit the trash can on the road.
Up and down the lineup, Correa, .371 at home, .211 on the road. Bregman, .273 at home, .154 on the road. McCann, three bills at home, .37 he hit, .037 on the road. Like, it's up and down. It's amazing. It'll be curious to see how what happens.
It is amazing. It really is. All right, you can help out the cause here for the big fella by going to WEEI.com/25. WEEI.com/25. We got unbelievable auction items by each one of the teams, the Patriots, the Celtics, Bruins, Red Sox, and the Pawtucket Red Sox. All you have to do is text WEEI to 71760. And you can view the entire online auction. That's text WEEI to 71760. All right, coming up next, Teddy Bruschi, Dante Hightower. That's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What Teddy did, he had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. The best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It is intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
It's time for our weekly get-together with Teddy Bruschi. It's brought to you by Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Well, Mr. Bruschi, we're 2.5 hours in, and Fourier is still standing.
1 hour at a time.
Yeah, that's right. Piece of cake.
Chopping wood.
Yep.
I'm proud of you. You know, this is great. 25 straight hours. Like I said, hey, you got a problem at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m., yeah. Give me a call. Go ahead and give me a call. I sleep pretty deeply, but if I hear the phone, I'd be there.
Okay.
I'd be there for you.
Okay.
Somebody told us in the other booth you've already changed your numbers. That's right.
Yeah, see, basically, Teddy, it's kind of just like it's you know, I can't run a marathon. You ran a marathon a couple times, right, for your foundation to benefit, you
three
know.
Three times.
Yeah, three times? Oh, now you're bragging. All right. So this is basically, I'm just doing a verbal marathon.
Stop.
The same thing.
He ran 26.2 miles.
What is the same thing? What's the difference? My voice is going to be tired. His legs were tired.
Oh, please. It's embarrassing, Teddy.
Intellectually challenging. You're making a difference.
That's totally
thanks, buddy.
All right, we're hoping to get Dante Hightower on with you because that would be kind of neat to get two of you bridging the whole thing. A little hole in between, and 54, the same number.
The 5-4.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. By the way, we were just talking about this during the break, and they don't retire numbers because I guess there are only so many numbers you could use or you'd start to get into the to the 100s or whatever. So they really don't retire numbers. People are saying, well, what are they going to do when Larry Bird, when Tom Brady goes? Well, they're going to move on and some backup quarterback will be wearing number 12, right?
Yeah.
I think that might have to be a special exception there.
You know, but Teddy, here's what I said. I don't think the Patriots are in the business of actually retiring numbers, you know? So I feel like it's one of those situations where they just don't let anybody wear it. I mean, because wouldn't that go against everything that they kind of stand for and have been preaching forever? Like nobody's different.
If you're talking about the 12, I think. I mean, no one can ever wear 12 again. I mean, that's just something to wear. You got to change your policies or whatever. That number's got to be retired when he hangs it up. But you know, when I retired, people talked about it, and then I didn't. You know, usually they give it a year break and then they give it out. But I sort of like the fact that, you know, players have to come in, especially now that the winning tradition has continued. And, you know, the fact that you're wearing a number that another player wore that had success before or won a championship before. It sort of puts a little bit of perspective on, you know, who you're following and the standard you have to uphold. So, you know, I'm proud of the fact that, you know, the teams that I were on sort of were at the beginning of all of this. And then with High and what he's done, I mean, you've got to, there's almost an argument to where what's more difficult? Is it more difficult to break through and win the first and establish a championship culture and a standard? Or is it tougher to just come into the middle but still maintain it and still win multiple championships? There's something absolutely to be said for that. And for me, having worn 54 before, I couldn't feel more proud whenever I see High out there doing great things, not only in the community, but out there just crushing people and having success the way that linebacker crew is and having those familiar numbers like, yeah, there's a 51 or there's a 54 and all the other numbers that had success before in other defenses. So I sort of like it.
Yeah, it's pride. And I know, you know, playing there, playing with Tom, playing under Bill Belichick, you know, obviously you're proud of those guys. But I remember, you know, Ty Law, Rodney Harrison, these guys talking about Hall of Fame, Patriots Hall of Fame. There was, like, all their speeches, there was sort of a sense like it wasn't just them. You know what I mean? Like, hey, let's all our Hall of Famers that we play with, they want guys in the Hall of Fame. And it seemed like it was sort of like, you know, let's not forget how great our defenses were. Let's get some credit, too.
Yeah, and I mean, people talk about the headlining names, but how about guys like Roman Pfeiffer? You know, the guys that had such great careers. Yeah. I mean, I played next to Fife for all those championships, even on punt team in Super Bowls. And he basically did everything. The coverage linebacker, playing against the run, he did so much. I mean, he wore 95. It's something where there are so many pieces of the puzzle that you remember that, you know, only a certain amount of us can get into the Patriots Hall of Fame, but we represent all of those players.
You know, and I guess getting to the point where, you know, everything is Bill Belichick's defense, right? Even if Patricia's defensive coordinator, Flores' defensive coordinator, we see it now with some of these guys like Kyle Van Noy talking about, hey, we're great players too. Did you ever have that feeling? Like, man, the coach, I know he's a great coach, but let's not forget about the players. It ain't all about him.
Yeah, it was, like I said, I think it's different with our crew, with our, the years that we played because, I mean, Bill's first year, we were 5-11, and we had struggles. And, you know, do you wonder if he knows what he's doing at times? You know, because we broke through and started the standard to where I think Bill was also learning on that second round of being a head coach. So the sort of improvement of Belichick as a head coach coinciding with, you know, players who were young, and even in 96 when Bill was the assistant coach and he was the defensive backs coach, knowing him then, and then going through the Pete Carroll years, and then Bill coming back, and then, you know, having that struggling first year, and of course next year all of it started, but there's a different feeling to where when you help that become successful, to where I think you can still have that, you know, eye-to-eye sort of relationship and also communication, to where you built something with them so you knew where it was before, so you can say, okay, we remember when this didn't work and why it didn't work, so we sort of know why we're doing it now. So then it all gets established, and I can see where these guys, you know, absolutely want to establish their own identity about, no, this ain't no system. This is us. This is us as players, and we know how to do all of this. They have absolutely done that and then some, and that's why I say what I did earlier. I mean, it's just as tough to maintain that type of standard as just as much as it was to establish it.
We're talking to Teddy Bruschi as we do each and every Wednesday. Okay, so last week was Baltimore, a very different, unusual offense where the quarterback does stuff that you don't see that often. So how much are we going to learn about the defense in Philadelphia? Was that just an outlier, or is this defense a little shakier than we thought?
Well, I think you'll still have elements of sort of the run game of the Eagles being that element of being creative with what Peterson does. And because they still try to establish a running game there. So I think they'll still be tested. So I think they're excited to play, to go out there and be challenged in the run game, because I think they will be, because obviously of what Baltimore did and what Cleveland did. You know, Cleveland wasn't anything fancy or didn't have a quarterback that was a threat where you got to play 11-on-11 football. You know, Chubb, you know, had some success against them, just had a couple fumbles. So I'm sure Philadelphia can look at that and say, well, we've got to try that also. Because if we get into anything that where we get in a throwing situation and a third and long, that's when they're at their best, because that's where they've been at their best against these young quarterbacks, and then protections and making them figure out who's rushing and who's covering, and their man coverage really is strong, and that's their strong suit. Obviously, I think High would say this himself. The last 2 weeks, they have not stopped the run. That has to be remedied, and I'd be looking forward to, let's go. Buckle up. I dare you to run it on us, because we've been working on that for 2 weeks.
Yeah, isn't it one of those things where, you know, until the Pats can prove that they can stop it, teams are going to still keep trying to take advantage of it? Like, it needs to, it's like the blood and the water needs to stop now.
Yeah, it's not just going to be this week either. I think it's got to be we're in week 11 now. So I think everyone now would see that they're going to get tested in the run game every single week. I mean, even if they shut it down this week, whoever they play in 2 weeks, they're still going to get tested, because they believe that's where the weakness is, because that's the way it's been the last couple weeks. So it's not like a beginning of the season thing. We think that, oh, they may have a problem here, so let's try it. Okay, we can stop it for 2 weeks, and then it stops the bleeding. I think it's established now between what Baltimore and Cleveland did that if they're not able to stop the run, that's how you have success against the defense.
So, you know, a lot of people are looking at the Super Bowl 52 and trying to draw some sort of correlation between the two teams, and maybe this game will be similar. So you still got the same head coach, but you have a different quarterback in Carson Wentz. You see any signs that this game on Sunday will look similar to that game? Maybe some aspects of it, maybe none at all?
Well, I'm sure that game is included in their cut-ups. You know what I mean? I even heard Peterson talking about this in his press conference, about adding that game into their cut-ups. Cut-ups, what I mean is they'll pick maybe 4 to 6 games, whatever the number of games it may be, that they feel these are the ones that we want to find tendencies and things like that. They add the Super Bowl in there in terms of third and short, what they do and what they do in those situations and all that stuff. So it can be somewhat studied. Are they totally two different teams? Absolutely. If there's anything, I mean, the Lions, what they did against the Eagles, I think you really need to look at. And I think that's what the Eagles would look at, because as much as the consistencies of the Detroit Lions and the New England Patriots, the Patricia, the Belichick, all the tremendous amount of respect and similarities that there are, you've got to think that's where, if you want to look and study that game and then that can give you some anticipatory things about what's going on. One thing I can guarantee is Zach Ertz in the red area is probably going to get double teamed. That 12 package that they have with Goddard and Ertz is something to look at, because those are two very skilled tight ends, but I'd focus more on Ertz, and maybe then they're going to see who's on Goddard and do we have the one-on-ones there. Couple matchups for the fans to look at game time.
So, Teddy, Saturday, Colin Kaepernick's going to have a tryout for all the teams. He can't wait to see how many coaches are going to be there. I would suspect none, seeing that it's Saturday. But what's your take on this whole thing?
He just hasn't played in so long. You know, I don't know what he would have. Do you send a scout out there, maybe, an assistant coach? I don't know. Like you're saying, this is the middle of the season, and whatever it would be is this. Can this player come in and learn our system and help us? What's the maximum amount of benefit we can get to this? I mean, can he give us a look on scout team for various quarterbacks we may see or anything like that? I just don't see the logic in this. Maybe it's just a play media-wise in terms of the NFL. You know, okay, we're going to give him a chance, but I don't even think the NFL set this up. This is all Colin Kaepernick's people setting it up. And I can see now how, I mean, this is, the guys, he sued the league, correct?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
And he won.
They settled.
And he won. And he won. Now, I think the amount was hidden or anything, but the league, those are the owners. So you're going to be working for possibly someone that you sued. I just don't see the logic. Yeah. I don't know how that happens. So, I mean, we'll see. I just don't see the logic in it.
We're talking to Teddy Bruschi. Dante Hightower, who used to be a regular with us, and we would see him every week. His mother was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. We're doing something here today, try to raise some money for American Diabetes Association. And we all know that Dante does an annual fundraiser as well. So we've got 154 on the line, and we bring in another one, Dante Hightower. Dante, good to talk to you again.
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Yeah, it's like we got the band back together. We used to talk to you all the time.
House.
54.
We got to get back to this, man. Feel good.
So we'll let you two guys talk. Was your defense better in 04, Bruschi, or was Dante's defense better this year?
Hey,
I'll tell you what, they got a better nickname. they got a much better nickname. I mean, we had, what did we try to get going? The Department of Defense or something like that. I remember T-shirts and all that floating around too. But Boogeyman is something that I would have loved to have been part of that.
Well, hey, Dante, did you ever, you know, in college, high school, whatever, I mean, did you ever watch the Patriots? Was Teddy Bruschi ever like one of your guys? You said, hey, I want to play like that guy as far as his mentality, his approach to the game, just his overall energy?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the Patriots a little bit. I ain't going to lie that, like, I was like all a big Patriot head, I think. I think anybody would be oblivious to say they didn't watch them. But obviously, I mean, Teddy B, Willie Mae, Braves, you got all these guys out there. But in the middle, man, you had a guy like Teddy B, a smart guy who played with so much passion, so much heart, and had the respect of everybody around him, man. I mean, it's kind of hard not to even cut on the film and to not see that.
You know, Dante, you know, obviously Teddy Bruschi's those teams, you know, winning the Super Bowls, and that number 54, I'm curious, when you got to the Patriots, did you know about Teddy then? Did you know what that number meant?
Oh, yeah, I knew. Yeah, I knew a lot. And I think, you know, one of the first things, because I had 45 for a while, and, you know, it kind of came down to it, you know, me not being able to wear the number. And, you know, just kind of talking around or whatever. And I actually got to talk to Bears before we got things lined up or whatever. You know, he told me, you know, he kind of called and he talked to Teddy and, you know, kind of got his approval or whatever. And, you know, at that moment, I kind of, you know, I already, you know, knew and realized and respected it. But, you know, to kind of get the approval, you know, meant a lot to me.
Dante, we've heard
that's weird because my training camp, my rookie year, 45 is the number that I also started in and then switched to 54. And I remember, you know, Bears is great. Bill is great. You know, I think it was just a sort of common courtesy of of letting me know about how I was about to get the number. And I think how I feel the same way I did. It's just not about the number. It's the man that wears it. And, you know, I think Dante's done a great job of wearing it, of being a captain for that team and the leader of that team. I guess the question I got for you, Hi, would be, my boy Mayo is coaching you up. I got to play a little bit with Gerard, and what's that been like being coached by Gerard?
Yeah, I guess he's kind of the bridge between me and you. It's the exact same, man. I love it, man. I love it. I ain't gonna say I love it as much as, you know, playing with him beside me, but you know, a lot of times you get to talking to coaches and coordinators, and a lot of guys, you know, can kind of say that they've been there and they played or whatever. But, you know, Mayo's kind of done it at one of the most elite stages, if not the most elite, with the best coach to ever do it. So the way that he sees things in the coaching perspective, and then from a football player's perspective, is crazy. And he has so much effect on what we do as far as the inside and the outside linebacker room. So, I mean, it's just, it's a big change having him here, and, you know, I don't know what we do without him.
Dante Hightower and Teddy Bruschi with us. And Dante, I'll ask you this question, because I know you guys practice on Monday, obviously back today. Are you guys pissed off at what happened to your defense? Because your defense had played great through the first eight games, and then that game in Baltimore. Is it a motivation for you guys going into Philadelphia?
I mean, I think any time that you lose, I mean, I think that's motivation. I mean, we practice and we do things a certain way for a certain reason. And, you know, sometimes you don't always, you don't always get the dub. I mean, we played against a good team and, you know, it is what it is. But, I mean, obviously, I wouldn't say, you know, going to use that as motivation or whatever. I mean, hell, whether we won or lost, I want to win every week. You know, it's about going out and working on your craft. I mean, I work hard every day, Monday to Sunday. So whether we win or lose, I want to go out and I want to give my best. I want to show that.
So, Teddy, I want to ask you, because for you guys, when that defense, you know, we look back at the guys playing together for so long, communication, veterans on that defense. Do you see a lot of similarities with this Patriots defense? I've been together for a couple of years, and it seems like it's clicked.
I think the one similarity I would see is just their, I mean, when you are extremely comfortable in knowing what you are you're about to do and how the offense is going to attack you, and knowing the defense as a whole, you can make your defense look like something that the offense has never seen before, which basically you can play the same defense you played it down before, but you can be somewhere else and be comfortable about the communication aspect of it, of adjusting the formations and empty formations to where you got the offense thinking like, well, what are we looking at now? And you almost smirk underneath your helmet and you smile underneath your helmet because you know you're playing mind games on the offense, but you know exactly it's just so basic in terms of what you're doing. I think that's where they are right now as linebackers, and it's how comfortable they are. I know it's different because the last couple weeks everyone's talking about the run game, and I just want to get into some football with Hightower, also with High, about Philadelphia. The run game they have is a solid game also, High, but they can't attack you the same way Baltimore did in terms of the quarterback position. But did you see any weaknesses versus the Baltimore game that you think that the Philadelphia scheme can come up with something to attack you the same way?
I mean, Peters is a good head coach, and obviously he got good backgrounds, you know, in that West Coast spread type, you know, the Andy Reid type offense. So, you know, I'm sure he'll have something built off of it. But like you said, I mean, the running game is a lot different. I mean, it's kind of like a RPO triple option kind of a look with Lamar. And, you know, a lot of teams, it's hard to do that without having that piece and, you know, with not having wins. But I'm sure they'll have some kind of RPO, some kind of attack. I mean, they're a good team. They're good at, you know, scheming and game planning. So I'm sure Peterson will have something for us.
All right, so we're talking to Dante Hightower.
How good do you guys see in terms of Ertz and Goddard in that 12 personnel, those tight ends, and what kind of threats they can pose?
I think they're definitely probably going to be a big part of the game plan. I think that's something that Baltimore had on us is, you know, they had a lot of big and athletic guys able to run around. You know, Ertz is going to do that anyway, and you know, what other better play would it be for them to, you know, try to design something for Ertz, but, you know, us expecting Ertz to get the ball and actually get it to Goddard. So 12 personnel, 11 personnel, kind of plays the same, but it's different. You know, they're bigger guys and they can move around.
Hey, I wanted to ask both you guys because, you know, Teddy, you were talking about maybe disguising things and trying to, you know, confuse the quarterback. My guess, and this happened a few weeks back, Dante, and I guess this is like the goal of the defense, right, is to have a quarterback actually admit that he's seeing ghosts. That's got to be a good feeling.
I ain't gonna lie, man. They dogged my dog out for that, man. They shouldn't have did that, but it's good. It's a compliment. We took that as a compliment. I don't think we bought into too much of the hype, man. But you know, anytime that you can, like Teddy said, you're able to do, you can look like you're doing multiple different things. And you know, like you said, we've got guys that's been out there, that's been around the league for a while, that's been here for a while, and whenever we're all comfortable and we're all able to do we're on the same page, we're able to do a lot.
All right, you're listening to
making a quarterback verbalize that during a game on the sideline. To me, is the ultimate victory of just a mind-crushing defeat because of what the confusion that you have. Because my defenses that I were on, did you see that look on Peyton Manning's face at times? Yes. But I don't think he was a competitor not to ever admit it, but always to like look at the pictures and try to figure it out. But to get that on the mic was just it's a victory for the ages in terms of, you know, the sort of mind games you can play on a quarterback, and I think that's a testament to these linebackers because they're the ones that are in and out, you know, showing a gap, dropping out, reading the slide protection, dropping to the slants, those type of things. They just do it so well.
All right. You're listening to OMFB, Ordway, Maloney, Fourier, and Brewski. We're talking to Dante Hightower. So listen, we're gonna let you both go, but I got some good news here. This is kind of cool that this happened. So we're talking to two number 54s, two of the greats to ever wear that number, and both started with number 45. So I think it's kind of cool that right now we are at 54% of our goal. 54% of our goal, talking to Dante and Teddy Brewski. So I want to say thank both of you guys, especially you, Dante and Teddy, for just making this a big part of the event. You guys have been huge, and we appreciate all your support.
Thanks, guys. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. No Dante, thanks. Teddy. Teddy, we'll talk to you next week.
See you, boys.
See you later. We have another hour to go with this program. The big fella's going to continue going around the clock. We got a special guest coming up in the next hour. We will take up spot number two on Mount Rushmore of Boston sports. Tom Brady joins us coming up in the next hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.